I have been preaching since I was about 27 years old, 26. So 30 plus years of preaching, I have never seen the winds of compromise blow so hard in America. I've never seen it blow so hard in the community through the churches. And it is my heart to stay old-fashioned. I have no reason to go any other way. You know, a man that's been raised in the country, he don't know much about city life, but he knows a lot about country life. And I don't know nothing about the new winds of religion that are blowing, but I do know something about the old winds of religion that are still blowing. And it is my heart, and it is my gear to stay in the old paths. Because we've got a Bible that's still right. We've got a God that still proves Himself to be faithful. And I've gone too far to turn back now. And I want to say to the church this morning, I'm glad I've got a place that I can come and experience the wind of God. I'm glad I can go to church with the people of God that, for the most part, will accept me for who I am and what I'm about. I don't have to prove myself to nobody. All I've got to do is be the best for God that He's made me to be. And that's all you've got to do. I heard a great message at a wildlife banquet Friday night. The young man was preaching about the hill country, the deserts, the valleys. God has put us all together. God's not looking for robots. The diversity of people. But it's one thing about it. We can all try to line up with this Bible because this is our guide. And if anything else is out of the context of this Bible, we need to leave it alone. Because God wrote it for our admonition and our guidance. And this Bible's still right. And you don't realize the honor and the privilege that I take into my heart to preach to your children. And what a great responsibility we have in the leadership of this church to keep focused on the Word of God, being submissive to the Spirit of God, and enjoying the family of God. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Church isn't boring in my life. I enjoy being here. And I'm thankful that I get to preach in one of the greatest places in America. And I mean that. And I know what I'm saying. If you have your Bible with you today, turn with us to the book of Judges, chapter number 6. Now, we'll not have service tonight, so we can take a little more time. I found out it's okay to let you people rest sometime. And so we need to be hungry for revival next week. I want you to be praying for it. I need you to be here. I've had this winter meeting just for you and for me, that God would speak to our hearts next week. So remember that at 7:30, February 4, 5, and 6. Now, Judges 6, I got to read a little bit, and I won't preach a long time. If we're going to take up time, let's take up time for what God said. And so let's read the Word of God found in the book of Judges, chapter number 6. I want to deal with another Bible question this morning. Let's follow along. The Bible said, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made them the dens which were in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. So it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. They encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza, and they left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle, their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt. I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you. And I drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you've not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, set under an oak which is an orph, that pertained unto Joash the Abrazite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now verse 13, where I want to draw my text verse from this morning, on this new Bible question. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. And we thank you for our time together today. Thank you for the house of God. I pray now you let preaching be easy. I pray, oh Lord, that the Spirit of God would help me in these last days of preaching to magnify the precious Son of God. Help me with the things I studied in the last few days to be a blessing to your people this morning. It'd be one here lost, I pray, God, you would move in our midst. Draw them by your love and mercy, and may they respond to the good hand of God. In Christ's name I ask you, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. In verse 13, notice this question. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? I won't preach on this thought this morning. Why is all of this happening to us? Why is all of this happening to us? First of all, you'll notice that in this text, as great of a judge that Gideon became, you'll find that here Gideon accused God and excused him. That's what many of us want to do in our life. We want to accuse God, but excuse us. And so here, you'll notice that it's simply not God in His inadequacy, but it's man in His iniquity. You see, here Gideon was living in a time of great discouragement. He was give out. He had given in. And he had basically given up. You know, many times, this is a pertinent question that we all ask Because we all experience broken hearts. We experience broken homes, broken relations, broken dreams, and broken hopes. So it is a pertinent question in this day and this hour that if the Lord be with us, then why is all of this befallen us? I've asked that question. Some things that I've battled in my life physically, I've asked the question, Lord, why? When things have went wrong and it seemed that I was doing the best I could do, I've asked this question, Lord, why? So I want to bring three thoughts out of this passage that I read on why is all of this happening to us. Now you'll notice in Judges 6 and verse 1, I want you to look at three main thoughts this morning. I've outlined it this way. First of all, there are the ancient vices. Ancient vices. I preached on a Bible question here a few mornings ago on who am I? We are body, soul, and spirit. The day we got saved, Christ came to live within us. We received a new nature. He did not change our old nature. We still have that nature in us. And that old nature is full of vices. Paul referred to it as the old man. The new man is not what gives me my issues. It's the old man that has been trained with sin and loves sin and loves to do wrong and does not like the boundaries of God. And that's all inside of us because of the fall of Adam at the garden. That old nature that lives within everybody in this building. That's why a person must heed to the Spirit of God, the new man. We must yield and give him the right of way, or this old man will keep us in a pile of trouble. Now, these ancient vices. Now, first of all, you'll notice the sin that they embraced. Now, here Israel had found themselves in such a great crisis by the Midianites. This word simply means one that goes against or divides. And so I want to remind us all, we all have an enemy this morning. It is the flesh, the world, and the devil. A lot of us never really experience any problems of the devil because the flesh has the right of way. So these enemies is the flesh, the world, and the devil, but here are these ancient vices. I want you to notice, first of all, the sin that they embraced. The sin they embraced. What made Gideon ask this question? Why was the children of Israel in such a predicament? Well, it's simply because of the ancient vices, the sin they embraced. The Bible said the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, the sin that they embraced, I want to remind us all about sin this morning. Sin is fun for a while, most of it is, but it's only for a season. For we know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the sin they embrace, notice that Paul is writing in Hebrews 12 and he says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. these ancient vices, the sins that they embraced. But now let's look secondly at the suffering they endured. I want to tell you, sin always brings about suffering. Sin always brings about that of suffering if it's not dealt with suddenly. Now, people talk about the Ten Commandments are wrong. Let me tell you, if we live by the Ten Commandments, and if those Ten Commandments were still held high in high esteem in our country, it would be amazing how much better our nation would be if people heeded to just the basic Ten Commandments. But here are these ancient vices. You'll notice that the children of Israel, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. The sin they embraced, but secondly, the suffering they endured. Let's see what happens. The Bible said, now isn't this amazing? This isn't a misprint. Look what the Bible says. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. Sin always brings unnecessary suffering. And can I ask you today, how can America not suffer? How can our homes not suffer with the sin that is raging in our country? When a governor will stand on a platform and lead a whole state to take a baby's life for the few days before it's delivered, you know what that is? It's simply murder and it's chaos. You know, doctors operate on babies in the womb. And I want to say this real plain to you. When a baby can become a patient, they are a person. When God breathes life in that womb, it becomes a living soul. And I don't care what any crazy man passes any legislation about, killing is still killing. And honey, let me tell you, America is going to suffer great things because of sinful living. We live in a day when the Bible's not being heeded. Matter of fact, we've probably got more preaching in this day and this hour than any generation that's ever lived. I know some great preachers in America, but the problem is this. It's fallen on deaf ears. The power of politics, the power of prestige, the power of to do better has taken over basic responsible living of heeding to the Word of God. I heard a lady announce this week on public stage, a big figure in America's eyes, talking about her children in the gender realm, said that she was not going to let her child identify that she did not have a boy or a girl. She was not going to determine their gender. Well, honey, let me tell you, God doesn't determine that gender when that baby was formed in that womb. And so no longer do they call them babies, they call them babies. Babies. You know, my grandpa had never been a real educated man. He raised me as a little old boy in Middle Tennessee, out behind a mule. But my granddaddy had more sense than the average leadership in America. He did know what in a mule to get behind. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. This world's gone crazy. It's sin sick. And this is what will happen. It will take your home, it'll take your hearts, it'll burn your house down. You better beware of sin. Now, I want to say today, these ancient vices, the sin they embraced, the suffering they endured, God turned them over to the enemy. Let me tell you something. There's no enemy that has power over the child of God unless we get into sin and we give him the upper hand. God turned their enemy over them. As long as you live for God, the enemy will always be under you. But when you turn your back on God, you're going to have an enemy that's over you this morning. God will see to it. For He simply delivered them to the hand of the Midian 7 years. Now this gets really interesting. There's weeks of preaching out of Judges, but I just want to hit the highlights this morning. The sin they embraced, the suffering they endured. Let's look at what happens. And the hand of the Midians prevailed against Israel, verse 2. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which they are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. So it was when Israel had sown. Watch this spiritual application in verse 3. You folks that love to study and recognize great truths in the Word of God, look in verse 3. I'm going to give you two applications. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up. I'm going to tell you, I found out whatever I sow in my life, that's what comes up. But I'm going to give you the basic understanding of that verse. Not only that spiritual application I just gave you, I'm going to give you the tangible application. The enemy would stay back and let them sow the fields. And at harvest time, they would raid them and get all of the fruit, all of the harvest. You know, if the devil can't get the seed, he loves to get the harvest. But this morning, you'll notice that they went and they hid themselves in dens and in caves. The suffering that they endured, the Bible said in verse 4, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza. They left no sustenance for Israel. They didn't leave neither sheep nor ox or ass, for they came up with their cattle and their tents. And watch, they came as grasshoppers for a multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. The suffering they endured. I want to give you this spiritual application this morning. Their sin made them weak. Their sin, the children of Israel, their sin made them weak. Sin does not make us strong. It makes us weak. That's why we need a church that's still preaching the Word of God, where the Spirit of God can move in our hearts and convict us and convince us of our wrongful way of living. And there's nobody here perfect. I need preaching. Sin makes us weak. Then watch secondly. Sin caused them to lose their fight. Sin leaves us unwilling and unable to fight. Sin calls them and causes us to hide instead of standing before the enemy takes over. Sin desensitizes. You start playing around with sin and you let sin come in your life. All of a sudden you'll find out that you're desensitized to sin. It don't bother you anymore. Brother Jody Harrison preached a great message in our camp meeting here this fall on when conviction don't change you. When conviction don't correct you. And so as a child of God, we must watch these old vices that live in us, that old nature. The sin they embraced, the suffering they endured. Isn't it amazing sin made them weak and it caused them to hide? If there's ever been a time in America when the
church, the blood-washed, called-out ones, needs to kill sin in our lives to make us stand strong and keep holding places for God. It is this day and this hour. But you know, I've noticed this. When I sin, and there's nobody here beyond it, when I sin, it makes me weak and I want to run and hide instead of standing. Can I tell you, for the child of God today, we need to get rid of the sin out of our life. Come out of our hiding places and stand for what that is right in this day and in this hour. Your family, your welfare, your future is counting on it this morning. My girls sometimes said something to me, but that has paid me the greatest compliment I've ever had. This is what I remember them say, "Daddy, little things bother you." Well, let me tell you, when little things quit bothering me, some things I do, the vices of my flesh, those things bother me. And if I'm not careful, I'll let sin overtake my life in such a way I have no power. I want to do nothing but go and hide in a cave. But honey, let me tell you, God has given us the Spirit of God to become victors and stand up for what's right in this day and in this hour. You can't shack up with everybody and have the power of God. Young people now, we live in a culture, we'll just move in and see, does it work? Honey, won't you get right with God and get married? We want to soft soap the issue. Well, them's mine. I don't care if they're your neighbor. Sin, sin, and it's still sin. Sin at my house is like at your house. It's still sin. And God wrote this Bible not to hurt us, but to help us. So, these ancient vices, the sin they embraced, the suffering they endured. But look in verse 7, the security they evaded. Somebody said, "Well, it don't pay to serve God. I don't see nothing going on." You'd be surprised as you're living for God what He's keeping you from that you know nothing about. This is where I get beat up. I'm going to tell you, my heart this morning, I try to get up every day of my life and I go on the altar. I try to pray, ask God to give me wisdom, direction, and help. I try to get in my Bible. I try to read Scripture every day of my life, somewhere through that day. And many times I feel like such a failure. I'll get out there on that piece of property that we own and I'll walk around. There's that big German shepherd dog. I'm walking. Every devil in the country is accusing me and riding me and telling me how bad I am and what I'm not getting accomplished. But honey, let me tell you, there's a God that's looking over me and there's a God that's protecting you. There's a God that's blessing you. Just keep on serving the Lord. I got a big old German Shepherd dog, weighs over 100 pounds. I got him a shock collar. I don't know. Brother David, that dog wants to drag everything he can get his mouth on. He's a destroyer. I travel with a Keurig coffee pot. I had it in the garage in a bag. I looked the other day, my coffee pot was out in the middle of the yard. Then I looked where the grandkids had been playing old maids, had cards in the back table on the porch. That rascal went out there and pulled that drawer open, had old maid cards scattered out in the driveway. I said, "Honey, this dog's sharper than I thought. He's drinking coffee and playing old maids." I got me a collar. It's got a little whistle to it first. And it's got a vibrate button. And it's got a shock button. You can turn the setting as high as you want. And I got to thinking, fooling with that dog.
That's what we need.
Matter of fact, if sin paid off quicker, I doubt a fair one of us would be fooling with it this morning.
Boy, yesterday I told us I'm fixing to fry this dog. We got in for preaching. I had water stacked up by the Suburban. And he's a great dog as long as I'm in the yard. But when I go in the house, he's going to say, I wonder what nerve I can get on now. Brother Randall, he went in there and I looked out. And that Aquafina water was scattered all out in the front yard. We got in Christmas. Miss Renee orders that stuff online. She won't go shopping. She uses that internet. Me and Herd went to town. Brother David come in. It looked like a car wreck in our front yard. That dog, that UPS man, throwed it out, and that dog said, thank you there, brown truck. Son, he destroyed that place. It looked like a car wreck in that front yard. I said, where's my color? Yesterday, I went in my study. I let him out by himself about 2 hours. I told her now, I said, I'm going to look out the window and see what he's doing. I looked out, seen all that water. I grabbed my remote. I said, I'm fixing to fry him this evening. I couldn't even see him. I seen a bottle rolling down my driveway. I knowed he was in it. And I stuck out the window and said, bam! Woo! Off he run. This is an amazing thing. I can walk out. You ask Miss Renee, I can walk out. When he's done, that dog looks at me and he tucks his tail by his head. I say, come here to me. He'll come and he's sit and his head down. I said, why did you do this? Are you crazy? I often think about us like that. You know, God never intended us to be robots. He intended us to be what God called us all to be individually. But God does expect us to let Him be our guide. And so here the children of Israel, not only this ancient vice, the sin they embraced, the suffering they endured, the security they invaded. I want you to look in verse number 7. Came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet. You know what happened? The children of Israel cried. Let me share it, you come. The children of Israel cried. God heard them. Isn't that amazing how long-suffering God is? I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of y'all laugh at me when I say this. And I'm going to pull it back in and preach it. But I just want to tell my heart a minute. That big old German Shepherd dog I've got taught me a lot in a year. There's times I want to push that button so bad. And I get to thinking, God didn't push it on you. Ken, God didn't push that on you. You know the boundaries you've got. Get in there and stay. But what I don't want you to miss this morning is so many times we want God to handle the symptoms instead of dealing with the source. We want God to fix our situation. Those symptoms which really get our attention, but we don't think about why them symptoms are at our house. Some of you think God's just something on the bucket list. Live for Him. Trust Him. God's faithful. Some of you ought to start giving to the Lord in your tithes. God told you to. Now, how do you expect to make it financially unless you do that? How? How can we expect to play with sin and get nothing but the results? So God sent a prophet. You know what that prophet was? He was a preacher. And he told God's people their wrongs, and they responded to God. So not only do we see in this text there's an ancient vice, but secondly, we see something here that is so important. When God sent this prophet, there was an angel's visit. God sent an angel. And He sent him simply to Gideon. I don't have time to preach the last of this, but long story short, then we see an announced valor. God walked up to Gideon after the children of Israel had cried, an angel come under an oak tree, and Gideon was threshing wheat behind the enemy's lines. He was scared to death. And God said, O thou mighty man of valor. He said, me? We're the poorest tribe here. Lord, you're confused, not me. He said, yeah, you Gideon, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to defeat this enemy and bring the resources of God back to a nation. Now I'm done with this. I'm going to tell you, Miss Sherry's going to play. God can use you to bring God to your family. God can use you to bring God to your school, in your community, at your house. We all have God-given responsibilities that we simply must react. We must respond to the Word of God. This morning, Miss Sherry plays. I want to ask y'all something. It was one of the greatest days in my ministry, Brother Gerald, is when it finally dawned on me that I'm a man with a call that's preaching to like people. I'd love to tell you that I don't have no problems with vices, but I'd be lying to you, because I do. And you know what? You're not hiding from nobody. You got problem with them vices too. Whether it's temper. Or could this be? I could preach till 2 o'clock on what they could be. But we know they all are. So why don't we just get honest with God this morning and say, Lord, I need you at my house. And Lord, I want to respect your word. And Lord, I want to live as close to this book as I can get. And help me with me. You know, busybodies in the church, I don't know why they are consumed with others, because they've got more to work on in them that they can ever get accomplished. Jealousy, envy, ridicule, bad attitude. We need the Lord, church. Do you understand that? We have responsibility to line up with this book. Now, I want to say something. If you're in sin today, I'm going to say something that may surprise some of you. But first of all, you've got to deal with your sin. Number two, you've got to confess your sin. And number three, you've got to repent of your sin. And God will help you through your situation. Would you come this morning? Miss Sherry's going to play. I want to open this altar. I realize it may be uncomfortable for some to come.